You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around. I want to feel its way.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Thanks to Steve and Ivy Gruber for a little in-studio conversation talking about mushrooms and beyond the morel, if you will. Yes, yes, world. Yes, Michigan, there is life beyond the morel mushroom. And we had a fun conversation with them and appreciate them joining us. You can find them at stevegruber.com. And also you can find our sponsors, Conquest Sense, at conquestsense.com. Great stick products, and they have some new vaporizing products as well. Make sure you hit us up online. Go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com, so you can check out all the other great Michigan products and companies that we deal with here. Conquest Sense, one of our absolute favorites and the absolute best when it comes to Evercalm, VS1, and the other scents and covers that they have there. So we're going to talk a little bit about ticks now, as we are maybe out in the woods still looking for different types of mushrooms or enjoying our camping and whatnot. The tick report from the Michigan DNR looks very heavy to the southern portion of Michigan, up the Lake Michigan coast, up the Huron side, and definitely in the UP, western UP. There's a lot of heavy spots. You can see that map on our Facebook page, and we'll put it up on our wildmichiganradio.com page as well. But Brian Anderson is all about tick prevention. He's up in the UP, up in Iron Mountain, and joining us on the phone right now. Brian, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good. Great to be here today.
Great. Good to have you along. And I was just up in the UP last week. Probably the place I would love to spend the rest of my life if I ever hit the lottery. And I know I'm crazy because I'm not really a warm weather guy. You know, I mean, dipping my toes in Superior in July is more what I enjoy, you know, because I like ice cold water.
But that's cold water. Oh, my gosh, that cold.
But you know, it's that's my kind of heaven. But, you know, wherever you live, there are things that you have to deal with, natural things. And we here in Michigan have ticks every year. I mean, they're not going to go away. Some years are heavier than others. And there are several different tick types out there. And, you know, and you can tell us more about those, because, I mean, there's like the deer tick, the wood tick, dog tick, whatever ticks are that are out there. There's, you know, several different species of them. But they're all things we have to worry about nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. Probably the three basic ones that we are concerned with around here are the American dog tick, which we affectionately call the wood tick, and the Lone Star tick has a little white dot on its back, and then the feared deer tick. And the thing with the deer tick is that's the only one that has the Lyme disease, which is the biggest thing that you really want to avoid. Other ones can have some stuff too, but the Lyme is the worst that you can get from a tick. You don't want to get that. So, but ticks have an interesting lifespan. I should tell you that real quickly here. Ticks typically live about 3 years. The females give birth, takes them a couple of weeks to give birth to about 1,000 to 3,000 at a time. And their little eggs, I mean, it's pathetic. It's gross. But, they hatch out of the egg. Then they come as what they call the larva stage. And during the larva stage, what happens is they get on their first host, you know, towards the end of summer. And their first host is typically a white-footed mouse, because they're on the forest floor and they can't go very high, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they're feeding off or sucking the blood out of a white-footed mouse or a chipmunk, the pathogens or the germs from that little varmint, you know, the mouse or the squirrel, is where they get Lyme from. They're not born with it. So most people didn't realize that, but all the studying I've done, that's just how it is, you know. So they're on there for a couple of days, they jump off, and they do whatever ticks do, you know, for the rest of the fall, and then they morph into the next series, which is called the nymph series. They grow two more legs, and then they are called, they're part of the arachnid family, which is part of the spider family, the next spring, if they got Lyme from that first host. Even, here's a thing that people want to really realize, is they can be the size of a poppy seed. You ever seen a poppy seed bagel?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
And they're just as lethal at a young age like that as they are a full-blown adult. So, their next year, when you can barely even see them, they can cause you an awful lot of harm. So the next year they look for their host, they attach onto that, and suck the blood out of that for a few days, and then they drop off, and then they, you know, go into the next stage, which would be the adult stage. And typically their last host is generally a deer, hence the name deer tick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. While on the deer, that's normally where they're going to breed. So then they go through the winter time. Then the next spring, the male jumps off, he dies, the female jumps off, and then she gives birth, and then she dies. And then that goes the life cycle like that of ticks. Kind of crazy, but that's how it is.
Speaking with Brian Anderson here on Wild Michigan, theTickTerminator.com is his website. Now, Brian, ticks have a way of, sucking our blood and attaching themselves to us without us feeling it. Unlike a mosquito, when we get bit by a mosquito, whack, we know it's there. But ticks have this way of, they have a chemical in their body that allows them to bypass those sensors, our nerve endings.
Yeah, well, they're so small, and you can't hardly feel them crawling on you. And then the first thing they do when they want to latch on to, you know, to suck the blood, is they pop in some kind of, I can't remember what you call it, I'm not real technical on all this stuff, but they definitely do that. They pop in some stuff in our skin so that it numbs us, so that we don't feel it, exactly like what you just said. So they can be really stealthy about it, you know? And then, but here's the cool thing about the thing that I tried to prevent with, is that the product that I, you know, recommend, they don't like. It's called permethrin. I think we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do is you can actually spray it on your clothes, and it stays to your clothes for actually, depending on, you know, what kind of protection you want to mix it with. You just mix it with water in a spray bottle. It's really simple. Even I can do it, you know. So, I mean, it can last up to 3 to 6 months on your clothes, and go through the washing machine, you know, like 6, 8, 10, 12, 24 times.
That's,
so it's some great stuff.
That's pretty good. Let me ask you, Brian, speaking of Brian Anderson, theTickTerminator.com is his website. Ticks have natural enemies. I mean, I hear things about possums eating them, but, I mean, are there other animals, other things feeding on them constantly?
Oh, yeah. Possums will eat them. Poultry, like guinea hens, chickens, turkeys, you know, some spiders and insects like that, too. There was a study done out in the state of Maine a couple years ago where they studied turkeys, and they say that turkeys have such a voracious appetite that when they go through the woods, I mean, they're like vacuum cleaners practically. And the study was kind of showing that turkeys eat some of the natural enemies of a tick. And so they were kind of saying, well, partly the reason for tick's explosion in numbers is because some of their natural enemies have been devoured by the turkey. So,
well, fine.
We have a lot of turkeys up here, too. They really expanded a lot since the 80s.
Yeah, our good friend Al Stewart, we blame him because he's the upland game bird specialist with the Michigan DNR. And they have done a really just a fantastic job with the reintroduction of turkey here in Michigan.
Oh, wonderful.
But now to find that out makes me want to hunt them even more come springtime, which I love doing anyway. But we're speaking with Brian Anderson here. Tick talk, if you will, with the Tick Terminator. And I want to talk more in the next segment, Brian, about how the permethrin is working with our clothes with the spray on. But right now, you mentioned the deer tick. And real quickly, if we can, what are some of the symptoms of Lyme's disease? We know to look for that bullseye circle after we've been bit, but what are some of the symptoms, hopefully, that we'll, you know, not have to notice before we figure out we've got the disease?
Yeah, definitely the bullseye is something but that's only on about maybe 50% of the cases.
Okay.
Normally people realize once they get bit, and let's say achy joints, flu-like symptoms, just kind of feeling really crappy when you probably shouldn't be, you know, let's say in the middle of summer.
All right,
hang on, Brian.
Sorry I asked you that question too soon. We got to go against the break. We'll re-ask it at the next segment here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an hour to time in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by Not Just Guns. And they are not just guns. They are ammunition. They are supplies. They are accessories, everything you need. But they are also firearms, handguns, shotguns, new, used, and they're big Wednesday night auctions. Make sure to get in on those online. NotJustGuns.com is where you can find the auctions or go see them in person on Cedar Street in Mason at 127. Those guys are doing a great job, and they are definitely the good guys in the gun business. Now we're back with Brian Anderson, the Tick Terminator, here on Wild Michigan, talking a little bit about the symptoms and the signs of Lyme disease. And unfortunately, we got caught up against the last segment. We have plenty of time to talk now. Now, we mentioned the bullseye. That's the first indicator that we've been bit by a tick. And then, Brian, you go on to say about muscle aches and flu-like symptoms. Usually during a time of year where we're not accustomed to feeling like that, usually in the summertime.
Right, yeah, because technically some of you will get bit, let's say, now, and their symptoms, they may be quick, you know, to come about. But they may take even a week or so to really come about, you know, after they've been bitten. Sometimes people don't even realize they've been bitten. So the best thing to do is once people realize these symptoms, you know, like the bullseye, or let's say if they get that, or the achy joints, the flu-like symptoms, and just feeling really crappy and run down, the most important thing is to get it treated right away. And not all doctors are familiar with it. They're getting more and more familiar with it, especially around here. And Lyme needs to be treated before it can even be, positively identified, because you can almost treat the symptoms because they're so common nowadays. And doxycycline is typically what they will normally use for that. And usually one round of that can just about, you know, wipe it out of you, which is wonderful. But the problem is that a lot of people say, oh, man, I'm tough. You know, I can just, you know, I'll work through this. And guess what? After a month or two, then it starts to really get in the system. And then it's really, really tough to get rid of. I had a friend almost die from this a couple of years ago. And several people have. But he was so sick. That was part of my motivation for, you know, doing actually what I'm doing right now, kind of like on a mission of letting people be aware that there's some way that we can have a fighting chance against these things. But, I mean, the expense of Lyme is just thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it's not covered by insurance. So the few bucks that somebody can spend on permethrin and prevention, you know, what is it? Saying an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure or something like that.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Oh. I tell you, I've encountered ticks. We were up in the UP fishing, a little thing fishing a river off of two there. And we got back to our cabin and I'm lying in bed and I felt something crawling up my back, up the back of my neck. And I grabbed it. I looked at it. It was a tick. And believe me, those things are near impossible to kill with your hands. Absolutely. Yep. And then I woke up because, of course, I had the Wilbers by this time. got my buddy, Russ. I said, hey, Russ, check yourself right now for ticks. Right. I just got one on the back of my neck. He pulls his shirt off. He's got four of them crawling around. They had not set in yet. And, you know, and he got them all off. Thank goodness. But later on, at a different point in time, I think it was just last year, he had one that he got bit by. It was on his back, didn't realize it, and it got to like the size of a dime. It got huge.
I know.
And fortunately, he didn't suffer any repercussions from that. But what are some of the places that they like to hop on us? I mean, I know tall grass is definitely one of them, but there's got to be some forest floor and things like that they're getting on us as well.
Ticks are traditionally going to be in a more of a moist area. They're not normally going to be out in the middle of a field because they need the moisture. They need a dampness in order to thrive. And they're normally going to be on short grass and brush, stuff like that. They do not drop out of trees. I mean, you know, think how much work it would take a tick to crawl up a tree and go out to a branch. They don't do that. They're on the, so if you had one on your, on the back of your neck, it probably got on around your calves or your knees.
Oh.
All right, and crawled all the way up there. You just didn't know it.
Great.
You know? So that's how they are, you know? You just can't hardly see them.
Now, let's talk about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
The bigger ones are the better ones to have on you because they don't have Lyme anyways. It's the little ones, the deer ticks, that and the smaller ones, they're more affected by the permethrin anyways, which is a great thing because they're smaller.
Now, the permethrin, you know, you say you can mix it with water, you spray it on your clothes, and he had borrowed my good friend Russ had borrowed my clothes to go bear hunting in Canada because I had a scent lock outfit, and he wanted to wear scent lock, and I was a little concerned at first about, you know, spraying something on scent lock because, I mean, you got to take care of that in a special way to keep its, you know, properties in order, but the permethrin is not something that's going to affect that.
It's odorless, yeah. Hunters love it, yeah. I sprayed on my Eve in a, you know, deer hunting clothes last fall because they can be around. I mean, they have a longer season than what a lot of people give them credit for. I mean, technically they could appear in February when it gets to 40 degrees and a little thaw, you know.
Wow,
they
no kidding.
Come out. So they hunker down underneath the snow and they basically hibernate for the winter. But they have a long season. I mean, actually, May is Lyme Awareness Month. That's when they're really coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They're out all the time, but I always tell people it only takes one to really screw up your life.
Yeah, and again, it's not something that goes away that easily, especially if you don't treat it. And it's something you need to look at immediately should you see that bullseye or start feeling those symptoms. Again, the body aches and the flu-like symptoms, especially around the spring and summertime where it's not that common. Brian Anderson is our guest here. The TickTerminator.com is his website. Now, you also sell permethrin, correct?
Yes, yeah. I've tried a couple different ones, and there's only a couple different ones out there. It's a very, very small market. But what I recommend on my website here is called a duration 10%. And what the cool thing is about that is it's a concentrate. It's the only concentrate on the market that's, you know, EPA registered for clothes. All right. So it's really good. What you do is it comes with directions where somebody just mixes it in a quart bottle with water. And here's the thing. Let's say a mom's sending the kids off to camp for a week. She could mix it with just a, you know, for a 3-week coverage, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Their clothes to protect them. Let's say somebody wants it for 6 weeks and 6 washings, then they would put 2 ounces in the quart. Let's say you want it for 12 weeks and 12 washings, 3 months, you could mix 4 ounces in there. Let's say you wanted it for 24 weeks and 24 washings, then you could mix the whole 8-ounce bottle in there. So it kind of depends on how much protection you want for your particular needs.
And that seems to go a long way. I mean, quite a long way.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Now, you also have a DEET product that you sell on your website. It's a 30%. Now, I kind of chuckle. It's an uncomfortable chuckle, but I remember going back in the days when you had the Muscol with 100% DEET. And, you know, you're spraying it around all willy-nilly. But, I mean, we have learned that you really need to be careful with DEET.
Yeah. That's a little more harsh, but it's almost an industry standard. That's why I have it on there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another product on there that is much more mild called Picaridin. And I have it in the dosages, if you want to say, that are generally accepted. You know, like the Picaridin is only 20%. The DEET is only 30% because, you know, it really doesn't need to be 100%
right.
From all I've read. So I just carry the more mild amount of 30%, which is plenty. But those are for the skin. The permethrin that we're just talking
right.
about is only for your clothes. If you get it on your skin, it doesn't do any good because the oils in your skin kind of just naturally dissipate it. So it's just for clothes, but it has a sticking power. Our military's been using it for almost 30 years. So if that tells you anything.
Well, yeah, it's thanks for sharing.
But, it's huge.
But yeah, it's and I'm glad that we've got this all this information out. Again, there is a map from the Michigan DNR on our website. Or, I'm sorry, our Facebook page, which we will put to the website of the severity of the tick problems that we could be having this year, where the densities are going to be, and of course the Western UP is lousy with it. Your area, Iron Mountain area, is going to be thick with it. And of course, the whole coastline from Michigan down around the bottom part of the southern lower peninsula up into the Huron area again. So, and then, you know, some of the other places are less apt to have severity. And then there's some that are just like, you know, tickless. But Brian Anderson, appreciate you joining us. TheTickMagnet.com is where you can find us, man. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge.
The Tick Terminator.
Oh, yes, Tick. I knew I'd get something wrong today. I blame Steve Gruber. He was in here earlier. TheTickTerminator.com. Brian Anderson. Thanks to Steve Gruber and Ivy Gruber. SteveGruber.com, host of The Steve Gruber Show. All this information is on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com.